The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
We want and we expect more at the same time, because this is also what we offer. Meaning, you also need to be technically broad. If you work in a project at the bank on a specific country, wherever, it's important to understand that you are part of a team, very often a small team, where we deal, let's say, now we talk about energy, with other team players. So you have the energy engineer, but then you have the energy economist, then you have the environmental person, the people dealing with the social impact of the sector, and the other players, the civil society, to some extent the media, of course the people that we try to help and the government that we deal with, so different players. So at the end of the day, this is your team, and you need to adjust your style and working style to a different audience, inside the organization and outside the organization. So that's very important to understand. You need to be able to work with people with different expertise in different fields, but they're not very far from you. Some extent. You need to adjust your style, language to these different audiences. This is very important to understand. And also because this is, going back to what I was saying, this is what we can offer. When you join the World Bank as an energy specialist, don't expect, and probably you don't want to be stuck in your sector, maybe in your comfort zone. We need people that can work outside the work of comfort zone. You might join the bank because of your background in energy, transport, water, education, whatever, but at the same time, and maybe you work in a region that is familiar for you because you know the language or it's part of your previous experience, whatever, or your background, but don't expect that you will be an energy specialist in Latin America for 20 years. You want, and we want also you to bring this experience outside your comfort zone. So you start energy, and maybe you will apply and ask to move and work in environment. And from environment, maybe rural development. And from Latin America, maybe China, maybe another language. So you study another language, you might use maybe the language you know in a different context, and so on. This is very important to understand. Also because it's a flat organization. So sometimes a difficult question to ask, maybe that, you know, a lot of people like to ask when they go for a job interview, where I'm going to be in 5 years' time. You know, it's not easy to answer for us, but we can guarantee you that if you have an interest to see different things, we can provide the opportunity. And this flexibility about working outside your comfort zone is very, very important because it's what we expect. Small teams, as Eric was emphasizing, you need your writing skills, presentation skills, very, very, very important. And this can make the difference. And from the recruiter perspective, it's important that this is something that it's easy for us to assess in a way when we interview candidates, but it's difficult for applicants to tell the story when they apply for a position or when they try to make a contact. So it's very important that you are familiar with these challenges, because you need to tell the story, and maybe in a very different environment, you have some experience that you can relate to this working outside the comfort zone, to make presentation, to write well, to enjoy writing, and to use different languages. So it's very important that you are familiar with what kind of profile we might be looking for, because then this is something that you need to highlight to some extent, emphasize when you apply for a position.
Question that we often get is about language. How many languages do you need to speak? How many languages do we speak within the bank group? The more the better. English is only one of the official bank languages. We also have French, Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, Chinese, and Arabic. If you speak German, great. If you speak Italian, great. They are not the official bank languages. And think about it in terms of where it is that we work. We work throughout Africa, so obviously Portuguese, Spanish, I mean Portuguese and French and English down there. In Latin America, Spanish. In China, throughout the world. So those are the official bank languages. And a lot of times you will see on one of the job ads, it'll ask you to be able to speak English plus at least one other bank languages. Those are the languages that we're specifically talking about. So if you speak other languages, again, great, but those are the ones we're specifically looking for. So if I were to give anybody a recommendation, learn one of those, become as fluent in one, two, three of those as possible to come to work at the bank group. Another question is about degrees, and Eric alluded to this earlier in terms of people having multiple degrees. A lot of times people will say, well, can I work at the bank with just an undergrad? Most positions require at least a graduate degree. However, IFC, the International Finance Corporation, there is a position that is there, their investment analyst, that they are not looking for someone with an MBA. In fact, they're looking for somebody with a finance background, but they are specifically looking for somebody pre-MBA so that you can do some of the work. And it's a lot of the research, a lot of the early work, and what they normally expect is that people will work there for a couple years, then go to get their MBA, possibly come back as part of what they call their global transactions team, which is a development program, and become an investment officer. So there are some positions within the bank group where you don't have to have your master's degree. Most of them, however, you do. Roberta was talking about regions. You can see all the different regions we work in by going to the website. I'm not going to replicate that. You can see some of the different other work that we do. Another question is, do I have to have a PhD in economics? No. You can hear by some of the things that he talked about, energy, environment, water, transportation, finance. Those are all the different areas that we work in. So yes, you have to have a really good understanding of economics. Do you have to have a PhD in economics to work in those areas? No, because we want you to be specific in engineering, in energy, those sorts of things. But the more that you understand it across the board, definitely the better. Again, on the website, you can see everything about our structure. But the one thing that I would recommend to everybody is to go to the website. When we talk about social protection, look to see how we define it. When we talk about energy, look to see how we define it. When we talk about transport, water, look to see what some of the projects are, some of the things that we have published. That will explain far more than we can explain up here.
I was working the room a little bit earlier to get some ideas of what the questions were that you might have in your mind, and some of the obvious questions are, you know, how do people get hired at the bank? So let's start with that one right now. For a small cost of about $100 to each of us individually, we can do nothing for you. No. I'm cheating out here. The bank has many different ways that people get hired. Some of these things sound like they are programs, but in actuality what they are just hiring mechanisms. And so we're going to run you, in addition to the languages that Monica mentioned to you, there's one other language that's critically important at the bank, and it's called Bankese. It's the language of the World Bank, but it's also the language of any other organization. So substitute another organization for the World Bank and end in ease, and you have to understand the language of that organization. So in the bank, for instance, some of our language is acronyms. If you don't speak the lingo, you're going to be out of touch very, very quickly. All right. So I'm going to run a couple of those acronyms for you now, and then we'll define them for you at the same time. We hire people under STC, STT, ETC, ETT, JPA, JPPAD, JPO, term, MPP, YPP, GTT. I think that's it. Yeah, I did. SEC, SPAS, yeah. So a couple things. So what do all these things mean besides trying to confuse you? Let's look at some of them. The first ones I mentioned are called short-term consultant or short-term temporary. And when we talk about degrees, they automatically are influenced at the very beginning. A short-term consultant is an individual who has a degree, and specifically an advanced degree. Because without the advanced degree, you are really only qualified what's called a short-term temporary. It's a different pay line, it's a different pay level, and it's a different set of responsibilities. But a short-term consultant or a short-term temporary is the way that any manager in the bank can hire somebody to work from one day to 150 days. paid by the day. There are no benefits, but you're paid by the day. The ETC, the extended term consultant or extended term temporary, is a one-year contract. You're paid an annualized salary. You receive some portion of benefits with that as well. And it's for 1 year. It can be extended for a second year, and then it has to change because there's no third year there. So something has to give. The JPA, the Junior Professional Associate, is a program that was created about 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago, which was intended to bring in individuals who just graduated from college, mostly undergraduates, who would work for 2 years, and then they would have to leave, because after 2 years, you had to leave. But right now, the composition of JPAs are majority with graduate degrees. Right. So where does that leave you? Well, it doesn't leave you out, but it leaves you with a better understanding. It's a very competitive marketplace. You are very much aware of that. And the bank is recruiting and looking for candidates, not just from American University, but from every other university in the United States and from every other place around the world. So the competition is with all of those individuals. And that allows the bank, rightly, wrongly, just factually, to get the best people that we possibly can. And so obviously you need to present yourself as one of those best people. So the JPA is a hiring mechanism. It's not a, it doesn't define the job. A JPA might be doing economic analysis, might be doing webmastering, might be doing publication supervision, might be doing research work, might be doing HR analytics. All right? It's simply a way that we hire people for 2 years, and they have to leave after 2 years. The YP program, the Young Professionals Program, and Roberta can speak much more about that than I will be able to, is the kind of premier recruitment effort at the bank. And the standard stated qualification is master's degree plus 3 years of experience. That's the stated. Okay. The modal population that gets hired through the YP program is a PhD, minimally 5 years of experience, and all that is under the age of 32, because that's the cutoff point. Another program I mentioned, the MPP, is the MIGA Professional Program, the Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency's professional program. It's like our YP program. And we advertise that, and we say we're looking for people under the age of 35 who have at least 5 years of experience. And since we've been running this program now for the last 2 years, we're now in our third cohort hiring, the modal population we've hired has had, I think, 6.5 to 7 years of experience. And last year, one of them was with PhD. Right, so everything gets kind of ratcheted up a bit. And that just has to be an understanding. Some of the other things mentioned are more at the mid-career levels I mentioned earlier on, and that's the element of hiring people who have experience. So two messages we really want to leave you with tonight, really importantly. Whether you come to us now or whether you come to us later, we hope you're paying attention to what the World Bank is all about. Because even if we may not be hiring you now, we may be interested in you, and you may be interested in us later on in your life. Or you may be going back to wherever you're going to be, another country, et cetera, and you might be utilizing World Bank resources. And so it's important for us to make those communications to you. So I'll pass over to Roberta.
Yes, I also want to be sure that we don't leave the room without traditional information that I like to share. Connected to what just Eric was saying. And I think the message is very clear, and it's not different probably from other working environments, but there's no doubt that nowadays, because of the competition, whatever, if you decide to target an organization, let's say the World Bank, you need to be familiar as more as possible with the organization, with your target. So there's no doubt if you have something to offer in a specific field or sector, you need to know as much as you can about what the organization is doing in your field of interest. So there's some work to be done in advance before deciding to connect. Connect means applying, but also connect maybe with individuals at the organization. And we can talk also about this. But definitely you need to do your work in order to understand, and also in order to do a proper application. You know, if you know what we are looking for, you would be able to highlight and emphasize, as I was saying before, what is more important also of your background. in terms of professional experience, academic experience, or whatever. So it's very important. Very clear that still the website is the number one tool that you have to know about the organization. And you will find out about the metrics. You will find out if you want to know what the bank is doing in the energy sector. You will find information in the Sustainable Development Network, where you find energy. But also you find information what the bank is doing, energy in Africa, energy in Eastern Europe, energy in Latin America. So you need to understand the structure, the metrics, because this will help you to read and research about the bank. So the website, number one tool, but this is not the only one. The bank is big in publications. We publish a lot. So you might be familiar with some of the major publications, the World Development Report, but there are a lot of books. And you are also, you need to make the most of being local. You some of the publications you can download them for free. So when you go on the website, you can actually download them for free. Otherwise, you can use your university to find out if they can get the publications for you, or you can at least buy them. And very often, you read more about your sector of interest. You also find names of people and experts that you might want to connect with. So publications are very, very useful. Also to be familiar with the terminology, the language of the bank, and so on. And this will help you, again, when you decide to apply. When you go, in a specific web page and a specific sector or country, you might find out that you can actually register for a newsletter. Maybe some of these informations are not relevant for you, but some may be. And again, you are familiar with what's going on. You will see more and more blogs. Bank people, they blog a lot. So if you can follow the discussion. If you have something to say, you can be part of the discussion. And this might lead also to some contacts and some ideas. From the recruitment perspective, you can even register for an email alert. If you want to know when jobs are advertised in a specific sector, you can register and you'll get an email in your inbox every time there's a job. Again, maybe it's a job for an energy director with 25 years of experience and nothing that is relevant for you, but you know what's going on and you are familiar with the selection criteria. Don't expect the sum of, maybe the number one and two selection criteria are different for the very senior individuals, but some of the soft skills or other skills, so you know what kind of profile we are looking for. So keep in mind also this option. And also the social network. The bank, we have now an official page on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. We use LinkedIn for advertising some jobs that will also be advertised in any event in the external website. But again, you can follow there. On May 1, we will launch the new young professional campaign for the next year with a specific page on Facebook. And again, you can... You know what's going on. You read about new publications coming. So, and maybe in the next few months we will be even more active on the social network side. Just two pieces of information different from what I just said about the nationalities and the diversity objectives we have. We are also keen, of course. We were saying 187 member countries. We want to have diversity also in nationality terms, and so we welcome candidates and applicants from different countries and nationalities, but without quota for nationalities. We're not in a position to assign or pre-assign a job to a certain nationality. We want to go for the best candidate, and it's our job ideally to find the diversity in the people that we try to hire. And another piece of information I want to be sure we shared, in the last year, just to give you the sense where we recruit from, the majority of the people that we hired were coming from the private sector. So why we'll still hire from the public sector, the other international organizations, or from the academia to some extent, private sector is becoming more and more relevant. And as let me also, again, re-emphasize that you don't have to... That's the other, it's competitive, it's tough, it's very difficult, because of the global competition, but it's true that we are in the position that we are able to, for the work we do, We have different partners, other international organizations, the private sector. So we are from different places. And also people leaving the bank, they're not forced to go to another international organization or to the ministry. They can go to the private sector, to different environments. So it's a market that it's open. So you can think of an opportunity at the bank at any stage of your career path.
When I mentioned the junior professional associate, I saw some eyes lighting up because it seemed like it had made some resonance with folks. So let me share a little bit with you about how that actually works and how you can make it work even better for you. If you go to the website, it will tell you to register for the JPA program, which means you are going to upload your resume and complete a short application form, and it's going to be in there. And it will join literally hundreds of others that are in there. And in the 10 years that it has existed, I have only found one instance where a manager actually went into that database to pull somebody out. Okay? So if you say to yourself, but I got my resume in there, I'm set, I can sit back, I can relax, because they'll call me. All right, please hear the message. We probably won't be calling you. All right, you need to be doing more. All right, at a program I hosted at the bank just a couple months ago, we had a panel of reasonably young people talk about their experiences, and one of them happened to be a JPA. She was the one person, and I'm telling you, in the 10 years, who got hired by having their name pulled out. Okay, but the other people on the panel explained how they got in. All right, one of them said, they went to the website, focused on a particular technical area of expertise that was of their interest, snaked through it further, got some individual people that were doing some work that was of real alignment with their background, sent an email to that person, sent along a resume to saying, I'm really interested in your work, I'm interested if you are looking for somebody, I'd love to come and do some research work for you, blah, blah, blah. That person was actually contacted by that individual and start out as a short-term consultant at the bank, and now has a term appointment. Right? That's the kind of work to be done by you. Right? It's the same thing that I'm sure the Career Center is telling you day in and day out, is networking. Right? It's not just simply registering on some website. It's doing the extra work that's necessary for it. But here again, you are in a very prime location. You are sitting just a few miles away from the World Bank's headquarters. And I'm sure that if you think about it, you will discover that some friends of yours, some former classmates of yours, a professor of yours, has some contact, some link, some connection to the bank. And I would use those connections and see if you get yourself invited to or connected with people at the bank. The bank holds on a daily basis dozens of what we call brown bag lunches, BBLs. And these are technical briefings and seminars and learning sessions of people around a particular theme. As long as you can get in, as long as someone hosts you, right, you can attend those things. And whether the topic is agricultural research or finance in developing countries or gender issues and development or whatever it happens to be, you're going to be sitting with the people, and that's their team, that's their theme, that's their topic. And so you're going to be hearing the concepts that are being spoken about. You can hear who's asking the questions, and you might be able to go up afterwards and talk to somebody. That's the kind of networking that's going to be, I believe, more productive for you than simply saying, I'm going to get myself onto the website. If you go to the website, you're going to see another program called the intern program, the World Bank Intern Program. Okay, that is exactly the same thing. It is a database of interested people. The majority of people who have a summer intern, if we're going to use that expression, or a winter internship with us perhaps, are not hired because their name was pulled out of that database. So again, just registering for it is not enough. Last piece along the same lines is, although I'm sure many of you would be loving the opportunity to come down to the bank and say, just take me on, I'll work for free. I just want to get the experience, I want to get the connections, I want to do something with you. The bank has made a very specific policy, and we will not do that. We are not a poor organization. We work with poor people, all right? But it would be abusing you. It would be abusing other people to say, just come and work for us for free. All right? So everybody in the bank is paid. Somebody asked, how much do we pay? Actually, that was a question someone asked ahead of time to me. We, and our salary scales are actually public information because the bank is a public organization, so you can see what those salaries are. But if your intention is to find an organization where you can maximize your financial return from your job, the World Bank is not the place to go to. If that's your goal, please find another place to be.
Point. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions. Yes.
Hi, and my name is Michael Stone. I'm in the law school here at UNM. First of all, thank you for coming this evening for a very informative session. I'm wondering if you could say a few words about the legal office of the bank and any opportunity for you to describe the opportunities that might be available for a lawyer.
Is Andrea
still
here?
Yes, I am. Hi. Nice to see you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
Can everybody hear me okay? When we came out to AU last fall, I met with several of the career counselors. Adriana was here, and I would definitely ask you to speak to her because she has some really, really good relations with some of the folks in the labor department and has been able to arrange some very networking sessions. But in terms of yes, there absolutely are opportunities. In fact, we even have legal internships. There is the legal department that is within IFC, and then the legal move on the IBRD, the bank side, National Bank of Infrastructure Development. On the IFC side, they're specifically looking for people who do finance law. So if you're family practice, that sort of thing, that's not what they're looking for. Or people even coming from another NGO, unless you've done some sort of finance law, it's not likely to be on that side. But across on the bank side, it's pretty much the range, and we're working with a lot of, so if you have environmental or climate law, water, you mean transport. So whatever other various themes, they're going to be legal issues. So we have our own internal legal. We have the legal department working within each of all the sectors on some of the legal issues that are inherent to the project that we work on. But Tatiana, if you'd like to provide a word or two about some of the stuff that you've been doing.
Yeah, so I'll speak from here. I guess everybody can hear me. I don't know if it's projecting right. So what we did is in terms with the internships, with I was listening to you talking about it, and what we did is with some alums who work at the bank, because the law school was fortunate enough to have a couple of alums who managed to get staff positions at the bank. And mind you, for all of you in the room, you know, I think it's important to know that they didn't just get into the bank as a staff member. Most of the people that I talked to, they definitely did short-term consultancies and then extended a little bit more, then managed to get a contract for 1 year and then extended for one more and then proved themselves and worked really hard and then made it to staff when the opportunity came, because it's not like all they have a lot of staff positions available all the time. So if one person is promoted or they leave, then that position will be open and they will transition to that. But what we did is with some alumni, if they have a specific project with a specific language skill and they need somebody from the law school, they will call me, let me know about it, and sometimes we will post depending on whether they want to deal with a lot of resumes or they just want, you know, to pick from people that you know are coming to our office and we know about. And if it's for academic credit, we were able to get a little bit around the HR rule that you cannot get somebody without pay. And that helps the managers a lot, because a lot of times they just don't have the budget to pay a consultant, but they still have a lot of work to get done. Most of the people that I know at the bank, I mean, they don't leave at 5. They're always very busy. So, which means that, you know, there's always research work that can be done by students. There's always, you know, reports to be put together. There's always data to be collected. And what I'm looking at is giving my students the necessary experience so that they can move forward into the short-term consultancy later and maybe a long-term consultancy and then maybe the staff positions or maybe be more attractive for the legal associates program, which is another program that we're very interested in. So I think it's a beautiful connection that we managed to make for the past, I would say, pretty much 3 or 4 years. And we have at least about 10 students who end up working at the bank yearly on that type of situation. Unfortunately, it's unpredictable because we cannot predict when the managers will need help. But we've had, you know, quite a bit of success with that, and the school will access the financial, and that's something I'll talk with you one-on-one for those who are at the law school if you want to come and talk to me. There's a process we go by because the bank needs to know that you have health insurance, that you have financial funds to be here. Either you're receiving funds from, I mean, the bank defines it as funds from another source, right? So we need to make sure we define that. So we've been doing all the bureaucracy around that, and I've become, you know, very used to doing that. And because of that, our students have been able to guarantee unpaid internships. They're getting academic credits, so they're definitely not being exploited. At the same time, they're getting fantastic experience working side by side with experts, you know, from all over the world. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Thank you.
Just to chime in MEGA, my client group, 25% of the lawyers are from American University. In total, about 7% of the population of MEGA has American University degrees. So there are some connections that are there. And the legal group, for instance, in MEGA currently is interviewing for a counsel position. And one of the MEGA professional program tracks is for counsel. So just as a reference point.
Next question.
Hi, thank you again. In terms of short-term consultancy or temporary positions, I'm a grad student. If I have a specific research interest in a particular country, do you have specific recommendations in terms of how to potentially hook up with bank staff in, say, India?
I think Roberto mentioned, I mentioned, is using the web as the starting point to find people who are doing the work of interest to you. I'm going to share with you probably something I'm not supposed to share, but I'm sure you're pretty brilliant. You can figure this out for yourself. World Bank email addresses is the first initial of the first name and the person's last name at worldbank.org. That covers about 99% of the people. So if you find, you know, Eric Schlesinger's name someplace, eSchlesinger@worldbank.org, you know, works. If you find John Jones's name, J. Jones is probably not going to work, all right, because there are a few of those around. So, but that helps you out in some of those connections. But it really, again, is to say I'm interested in economics in India is a little bit too wide a swath to work on. And so it comes down to what are some of the specifics you're talking about. As you heard Roberto talk about, the T-shaped skills, the technical depth in an area is what we're after. And particularly somebody who's going to come in as a research-type individual is what do you bring to bear. And that bringing to bear may be on the research team theme, but it may also be on the data analysis theme. It may be on the publication theme. It may be on the presentations themes. So think of yourself that way in the combination of skills that you have. That question doesn't apply just to the MPP of MEGA, but it applies to any position in the bank in terms of what is related experience. Well, it's defined by what's the job. So when Monica was talking about project finance in legal, for us, the legal people, is the same. It needs to be in project finance work. So a person who's done that kind of work in a law firm is related experience. I was searching through the almost 2,200 resumes that we collected to review for that positions. And those that were in the legal area, we were getting from all over. We had people who were doing the civil law, litigations, family law. That's not related. All right. So, I mean, MEGA is about foreign direct investments and basically selling an insurance against political risk. So people who have related experience to that, that's what we're referring to. Using the example of energy, using the agriculture example, I used to work with the agriculture group at the bank. It means people who have the experience in agriculture, but you have to understand the bank is not like the Peace Corps USAID. Bank staff are not in the field digging the ditches, planting the seeds, teaching the schools, delivering the health care. Bank staff are the ones who are meeting with the government officials who are funding those projects and those programs. So just to be very, very clear, if your goal and aspiration is I want to be doing the work, and there is a desperate need for that to be done also, the bank is not the place for that kind of employment. All right? right? There are other organizations that make better sense for you. But if what your interest is to work with government officials, whether it's in the bank, in the IFC, in the private sector, in MIGA, the private sector, who are funding projects and programs or supporting private sector investments, that's what the bank's business is about. And related to that is how we would define, you know, related. Separate. There is a chief risk officer of the bank who was just hired about a year or two ago, and he runs a small group of people who are looking at all aspects of risk, both financial and non-financial risks. But for instance, in MIGA, we have our own risk group that's looking at risk both of MIGA investments, but also risk in terms of political risk for countries that we're going to be doing work in. And so they're providing support and integrated information into the project cycle for those kinds of programs.
We're flexible, first of all, so we don't ask for something specific, so it's really up to you. My suggestion would be to have a resume that is no longer than 2 pages. So especially probably, you know, your level of experience. I would say, you know, as an initial CV, a resume of 1 or 2 pages. And I would also pay quite a lot of attention to the what we call statement of interest, but basically the cover letter, that it's also pretty relevant. Because if you have had a chance to apply for one of our positions, you see that you need to provide some information, including a statement of interest, and then you can upload, you can attach your own CV, and I strongly recommend that you do so. But there's not, you know, it's really up to the reviewer to decide if they want to read the statement of interest first or they want to click on your CV. So the statement of interest is pretty relevant, because it's also the opportunity for you to really send a very clear message of what I was saying in terms of being familiar with the position or the target of the position. So, you know, 1 or 2 paragraphs doesn't have to be a long statement of interest, but 2 solid paragraphs where you say, I understand this is what you are looking for, and this is what I've done, what I'm doing, what I've written in this context. Something that can really help you. And because, you know, even myself, you know, I have a day where I go first for the statement of interest, and then after an hour I'm tired, I click on the CV, so, you know, you can't, they're both pretty relevant.
And just on logistics, when we talk about uploading your CV into the bank system, please make sure you're using a format that is universally accepted. I've sometimes clicked on these uploaded CVs to get, you know, kind of gobbledygook. And when I look closely, it's a format that's just not a universal format. And that person will get no consideration. So you have to, you know, be aware of that. Again, I'm sure those messages you hear from the career centers, whether it's the law school or here at the university as well. Doing support level activities, administrative, client support kind of things we call it in the bank, working on those kind of behind the scenes, keeping the process flowing.
And we also diversity last year we had an intern who was just finishing her freshman year, going into her sophomore year. That was exactly the sort of thing she did. It was background analysis, so we were looking into the front stuff, and we hired her as short-term consultant. Any other questions?
Or multiple graduate degrees without experience is not terribly helpful. And I mean, I offer that too because people say, well, I've got 3 graduate degrees. You know, what's that worth? And our line is, what's your experience? Right? So to say one without the other, it's very difficult. But in general, most of the positions in the bank of what we call professional or technical or officer level do require an advanced degree. Standards apply to all the relevant elements in the bank.
It's useful to know that, you know, the 55% of the workforce of the World Bank is based in Washington, D.C., and 45% is based in 120 offices worldwide. And IFC is actually more decentralized than the bank and has a different decentralization model. But in any event, if you're thinking of also a career at the bank, we would, also from the World Bank side, we hope to reach at least a 50-50 balance in the very near future. So more opportunities at the bank will be probably outside Washington, or at least you need to consider, if you want to work for an organization like the bank, that yes, Washington can be a location, but you also need to expect, maybe after 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, to consider opportunities outside Washington in the developing countries. This is very important. And more, even if we don't have a clear model, IFC does indeed have a clear model about decentralizing. The bank is still trying to find the right profile, but at least we are able to send more people in the field. And it's important that you consider this and you also do you express that you motivate your interest in working maybe also outside Washington. That's the reality.
To be able to show and express it. Roberto and I have the pleasure of working with the recruitment process for the Young Professionals Program. And as I mentioned, that's the flagship recruitment for professionals into the bank. And we see many candidates who make it through to the stages of interviewing who have an IR background. And what typically happens in the interview is they are tested on the depth, for instance, that was spoken about earlier on. And they don't pass that. All right? They don't have the depth. They're great generalists. The YP program is not looking for great generalists. It's looking for people who are both depth and the generalists. We have other opportunities in the bank, as let's say we call an operations officer, operations analyst. More of the broadness is fine. But the issue that I see from many individuals who have the IR background, says, I've got that. What does that do? Again, alone, that doesn't do all that much if it's still kept at a very superficial level. So what's the drill down that you can bring to it as well as the critical?
One more question.
My question is about whether you guys focus on quantitative methods when it comes to hiring. For example, if I'm majoring in economics, is it better if I major in BS economics versus BA economics? And like, do you actually look for that?
I'm not sure necessarily that a person is going to make a decision whether it's a BA or a BS, but the quantitative skills are critically important. And an individual who cannot, again, hold their own in an interview conversation that might be asking you some statistical type questions to really test your knowledge is not going to be very successful. I will share with you, I'll give this one away, but it's okay. When I interview people, JPAs who've worked as HR analysts in my teams, okay, I ask them a statistics question. Because they're going to be looking over data, 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 and I want to know how they can, do they understand what data means and what they can gather from it. So I ask them some very general questions. I'm not a statistician myself, but I ask them some very general questions, and I have to tell you that about half of them cannot get the right answer. And so to me that says they don't have the knowledge there. So it really is, again, back to the word depth. It's a depth of understanding, but the bank is an economic environment, it's an economic engine. Data is critically important. I can't walk into a conversation with a client vice president of mine and say, I think we ought to do this, because she's going to say back to me, what's the data that brings you to that conclusion? And if I say, well, it just feels right, and I've got some pretty good feelings. I mean, I've been in this business for 35 years. I got some pretty good feelings. And she just looks at me and says, I know that, Eric, but where's the data?